The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Collegiate Institute is the best school for Negroes in the state.
It's the only school past the 8th grade anywhere near here.
Isosceles, scalene, equilateral, rhombus, trapezoid.
Catherine's in the 6th grade.
They want to take her early.
Tetrahedron, dodecahedron.
They're offering a full scholarship. All you have to do is get there.
Miss Coleman, why don't you solve the equation on the board?
We took up a collection amongst the teachers and such. It's not a lot, but it's enough to help get you settled in.
That's more than kind, Miss Coleman.
If the product of two terms is zero, then common sense says at least one of the two terms has to be zero to start with. So if you move all the terms over to one side, you can put the quadratics into a form that can be factored, allowing that side of the equation to equal zero. Once you've done that, it's pretty straightforward from there.
In all my years of teaching, I have never seen a mind like the one your daughter has. You have to go.
Let Mama tip me in.
You have to see what she becomes.
If you're tired or you don't get an assignment, if you don't get an assignment, you don't have a job.
Eleanor.
Data reduction, building 202.
Data reduction?
Well, you're welcome to join the Charmers in magnetoplasma dynamics.
Oh, no, ma'am. Thank you. Data reduction is just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mary.
Present.
The Mercury 7 prototype has arrived for testing. Mr. Zielinski's requesting you for a permanent assignment.
Are you serious?
Get moving.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you.
Mary, keep it inside.
I'm sorry.
All right, Miss Late. You will also be supporting the East Group. Mrs. Mitchell.
We're on double time this morning, girls. I need these calculations before lunch.
Space Test Group needs a computer, ASAP. Someone with a handle on analytic geometry. We can't fill that position out of the East Group.
Permanent or temp?
Everything's temporary, Dorothy. You have someone?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Catherine's the gal for that. She can handle any numbers you put in front of her.
I'll check her credentials.
Mach 1, tunnel test, T-minus 1 minute.
How sure is worth your life?
One moment.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Thank you.
it down. If we alter the exterior from smooth to corrugated, the capsule might have more stability, but the friction it is under during re-entry. Most shield erosion occurs on the posterior side abutting the retro boosters. Conclusion?
The area closest to the boosters is closest to the heat. Coupled with rising temperature on re-entry, the contact softens. We could consider another fastener other than the bolts.
Yes. Yes. There is another opening in the engineer training program.
Flathead rivets would reduce wind drag.
Mary, a person with engineer's mind should be an engineer. You can't be a computer the rest of your life.
Mr. Zielinski, I'm a Negro woman. I'm not going to entertain the impossible.
And I'm a Polish Jew whose parents died in a Nazi prison camp. Now I'm standing beneath a spaceship that's going to carry an astronaut to the stars. I think we can say, we are living the impossible. Let me.
This morning, I want you to consider what the impossible would feel like. Over the last few weeks, we've been in our summer series called At the Movies, and we've been preaching from movies. So those of you who are here for the very first time and getting some of that popcorn, Jesus is still here. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is still here. Trust me. We like to do our services in a way where you would want to invite your friends. And one of the things that we realize is that movies that we enjoy can actually say a lot if you look a little deeper. And we've preached the first week from The Bourne Identity. The second was my favorite week because it was Rocky. I would say that regardless, no matter what. Rocky, that was good. Last week, our Generations pastor, Jared Clark, he preached the movie Sing, and he talked about dusting people, life situations off of your life. And this morning, I just want to wrap up with a movie called Hidden Figures. In this movie, there are three ladies that I had never heard about in my life. Never heard about in my life, but the foundation of their story is one that actually changed the NASA program to where it has become what it is today. And this morning, I just want to kind of dive into the thought of what could really happen if you lived the impossible. Obstacles will be in front of you. The enemy will try to slow you down. But what would happen if your mindset was the impossible really could be mine? And so here's three things that I want you to focus on today as we go through this message. And I promise that I'm not going to over-talk you because I have a number of clips. Like, there was so many clips in this movie that I could have pulled from that I just figured I'd just tell you to watch it later. Is that all right? Here's three things that I want you to focus on. The first thing is I want you to find one thing to remember. The second thing is I want you to find something you want to change about yourself. And then the third thing is one thing that you could tell someone else. Isaiah 40 says this. It says in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared, set aside for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. There are hidden things that God has for you and I. We call it the impossible. God calls it, it's behind the curtain. We call it impossible. God says, you haven't taken a peek yet. I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, my mom had and my dad had areas where they would say, you can't go in there. For some of us, it was the living room that had plastic on the furniture. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had an aunt. Her name was Betty. She's still alive. Betty had a white couch, and it all had plastic. Betty would say, hey, boy, don't you sit on that couch. hey, boy, when you go through my living room, take your shoes off and don't go through that living room unless you need to be in there. I don't know if y'all had anybody else like that. The curiosity that I felt because she told me that it was there and that I couldn't sit on it caused me to want to discover that couch. She's already preaching my notes. The Holy Spirit is with her today. And the amazing thing was that when I got to the couch, I felt like I had accomplished something because she told me it was impossible. Don't you go on that couch. And don't you step foot on my white carpet. There are places in God that he just kind of puts the plastic on. And he says, now listen, in this room. The question that I have for us today, just kind of grabbing a thought of one thing, if we can just grab it, we can apply it, we can give it to somebody else, is what would happen if the impossible really became something that was in our speech? What if we said, that's impossible, and it wasn't negative? What if we said, that's impossible, but you were the one that was going after it? So the scripture says that there are some things that God has revealed, but you only discover it when you're connected to his spirit. So here's the thing that I realized just by watching the very first clip. Your breakthrough is hidden in plain sight. Because here in this movie, we have two dynamics. The movie, the storyline, takes place in 1961 during a time of segregation in Virginia. There was a struggle between black people and white people. And so how many of y'all know that that was a time, thank the Lord, for people like Dr. Martin Luther King? Thank the Lord for people who was marching and boycotting so that you and I, if you look around, the dream is come to pass. That was God's heart from the beginning. We had black people, white people all walking together so that we can all worship Jesus Christ freely in a place where we can lift up his name. How many of y'all are glad that we had some people who could see past what looked to be, yeah, that was like a, yeah, was like a golf clap. Our church looks like heaven. And so during, in this movie, you can see the two different dynamics. You can see that we have the ladies, they're working in an environment, and they have a young lady who's leading them, and she is their opposition in the movie when you watch the movie. She is their opposition. They have so many different things. They are being stereotyped, and they want to advance. And you have a girl who wants to be an engineer who doesn't feel like she can be an engineer. Then you have some African-American women who are working downstairs in the basement who know that there's more on the inside of them. And all of them are facing this struggle. But inside of all of the struggle, if the young lady who was overseeing them could just look into them, she could see that their breakthrough was right in front of them. You'll find out by the time we get to the end. And flip over the place of struggle where the three ladies were was also a place of breakthrough. It seems funny that the place of my struggle can also be my place of my breakthrough. Here's what I mean by breakthrough. It's a real spiritual term. We use it, a breakthrough. The place of my struggle can also be the place where my dreams come true. Let me give you an example. Any woman that has ever given birth, the process of giving birth is painful, but the joy of the process doesn't have them avoid the process because they know that the birthing of the baby produces what they were carrying the whole time. Y'all all right? I'm trying to tell you that your breakthrough is hidden in plain sight. The pain sometimes could cause you to say, this is impossible. But can I tell you that tucked behind the pain is your breakthrough, is your dream. So the young lady's looking at them. I need a computer, she says. But what she doesn't see is lying in the room is NASA's breakthrough. The girls are wanting to advance. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be to the engineer. Have you ever thought that maybe this is our impossibility? You know that I can't do that. The breakthrough of your life sits and lies in plain sight. Here's the thing, is that it takes spiritual tenacity and maturity to really look beyond.
7090 data processing system.
system. It has the capability of solving over 24,000 multiplications per second.
Holy Moses, that's lightning fast.
They'll never get that to work.
Oh, it'll run eventually. And when it does, we have to know how to program it. Unless you'd rather be out of a job.
No, ma'am.
Mr. Z, I got a court date.
The computer uses it as its high-speed storage unit and information holding device. Hmm. So you have a brain.
That I can work with.
Well, that's in the wrong spot. Get a girl.
You can't be in here. Who are you?
I'm with the West Computing Group. Dorothy Vaughn, sir.
Well, this is a very delicate piece of equipment.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm just trying to be helpful.
Uh-huh. Bill, we've got numbers. What kind of numbers? What's your name again?
Dorothy Vaughn.
Dorothy Vaughn.
Mr. Harrison wants you to confirm launch and landing for the Redstone rocket test.
I cannot work on what I cannot see, Mr. Stafford. It's illegible.
Those numbers have already been confirmed by two engineers in this department and myself. This is more or less a dummy check.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Whose work is that? I said, whose work is that?
Catherine Goebel, sir.
Hello.
How did you know that Redstone couldn't support orbital flight? That's classified information.
It's top secret.
Well, it's no secret why the Redstone test keep failing. It's fine for suborbital flight, but it can't handle the weight of the capsule and push it into space. Numbers don't lie.
And you figured all that out with this. Half the data is redacted.
Well, what's there tells a story if you read between the lines. The distance from launch to orbit, we know. Redstone mass, we know. Mercury capsule weight, we know. And the speeds are there in the data.
You did the math.
Yes, sir. I look beyond.
And how do you know about the Atlas rocket? That's not math. That data's not here, like you said. It's classified.
I held it up to the light.
You held it up to the light?
Yes, sir.
Well, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The breakthrough is hidden in our plain sight, but sometimes it takes the spiritual tenacity and the maturity that will cause us to look beyond what we're really in, fighting, facing. See, it's amazing that the young lady, if you look at the movie, Catherine, she's been given from the same gentleman that notebook. He's marked out all of the pertinent information. And instead of her going,
I can't get a break around here. What's going on? It seems like everything keeps coming at me. She decides to put it up to the light. See, in our life, sometimes the obstacles of our life will come and it will mark through all of the pertinent information, all of the details of how we're going to accomplish what it is that we're facing, everything that we need to get our breakthrough, even though it's lying in front of us. The enemy will not allow you to get a glimpse of it. He is after you. He is designed to stop you. But when she said, I looked beyond and I held it up to the light, it reminds me of the fact that God said that it is revealed through his Spirit. The dreams that we have is revealed already through his Spirit. All we need to do is hold the thing that we're believing God for, the thing that we're chasing, up to his light, not mine. Because here it is, these men in a room, when you watch the movie, they all can't figure it out. They're looking at the same numbers, the same information, and what they see as an obstacle, she sees as a breakthrough because she holds it up to the light. So now since she's holding it up to the light, every single person is gaining their breakthrough. Her boss, who didn't want anything to do with her when you watched the movie, he just looks at her like, so can you do this? He moves on to the next thing. Now he grabs the information that she's broken past and says, now we need to listen to this girl. We need to listen to this girl. Because she was able to gain the information that none of y'all could. Can I tell you that your breakthrough, your dream, your purpose is right in front of you. But what you and I need to do is realize that God has it. It's tucked behind a curtain. You and I have to pursue what God has set aside for us. And then when we feel like we're close, instead of looking at the obstacles, when we seem like we're so close and going, it's impossible. Why don't we say, it's impossible, and I hold it up to the light. Are you with me? I love the fact that she was able to take the information, the place where she was, and hold it up to the light. God will place you and I in rooms and situations that will make you and others uncomfortable. She's gaining her breakthrough. She's moving. She's advancing. And in the first clip, Dorothy Vaughn has decided that instead of staying in the bottom room, she decides to go help out on a computer that she's not supposed to be in that area. And when men walk in, they say, what are you doing here? They are uncomfortable. She's uncomfortable. We have Catherine, who's working on the numbers. None of the men want to be around her. They don't even want her information. They're trying to make her fail. She's uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. Sometimes God will place you in places and you will be uncomfortable and the person beside you will be uncomfortable. But the reason why he puts you there is because your purpose, your destiny, your breakthrough is right in front of you. You just can't see it. So the places where you are will be uncomfortable. The Bible says this, a man's gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Here's the thing, it never describes the room that you'll be in. It never describes whether they are perfectly good men or great men. All he promises is that your gift will give you access. So our gift brings us in the room, but it doesn't mean God said it would be comfortable. I've always read that verse and thought, because I can do this, opportunities will open up. No. If that was so, all of us would already be riding our dream to wherever we wanted to be. But it's the tenacity and the maturity that says, I've got to look beyond. So you've got the gift, you've got the talents, now you're in the room and it feels uncomfortable. What do you do? Have you ever been in a place where you wanted it and then all of a sudden it feels uncomfortable? You know the job promotion. I got my job. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, Freddy Krueger. It's like, welcome back. I met you before. And then you're going, God, what are you doing? Why do you have me here? And he's like, if you just look, your breakthrough is in plain sight. I can prove it to you. Watch. I can prove it to you. Look at this. Exodus 5, 1 through 2 says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let him go. How is it that God could send me, telling me that God is, when I speak, he's going to let him go. And then when I get in the room, he says, that ain't happening. The reason why is because God will place you in places that will make you feel uncomfortable and make them feel uncomfortable. The reason why is because there are things hiding behind the curtain that's in plain view, but God wants to reveal them to you. All you have to do is look beyond and hold them to the light. Here's another thing. You have to remind yourself and your enemy who's really the boss. Because I am challenging myself now that I want to look beyond, and I'm going to give it a try. I find myself that I'm going to be tenacious and mature to look past what's in front of me and realize that my problem is not really a problem. It's a promise on the other side. It's something that God wants to do. It's an opportunity for me to view the impossible as being really something that's normal to God. So I decide I'm going all in. I'm tenacious. I'm going to be mature about it. I look beyond. God puts me in this room. It's starting to get uncomfortable. What do I do when I'm in the room? Now it's time to let everyone in the room know who's the boss.
Colonel Glenn's launch coordinates, accounting for the window change, sir.
I have told you this. Computers don't author reports. Fix it.
Those are my calculations. My name should be on it.
That is not the way this works.
Paul, what's happening here?
Mr. Harrison, I would like to attend today's briefing.
Why is that?
Well, sir, the data changes so fast. The capsule changes, the weight and the landing zones are all changing every day. I do my work, you attend these briefings, I have to start over. Colonel Glenn launches in a few weeks. We don't have the man figured out yet.
Why is it she can't attend?
Because she doesn't have clearance, Al.
I cannot do my work effectively if I do not have all of the data and all of the information as soon as it's available. I need to be in that room hearing what you hear.
Pentagon briefings are not for civilians. It requires the highest clearance.
I feel like I'm the best person to present my calculations.
You're not going to let this go, are you?
No, I am not.
And she is a woman. There is no protocol for a woman
attending
these meetings.
Okay, I get that part, Paul. But within these walls, who makes the rules?
You, sir, you are the boss. You just have to act like one, sir.
You keep quiet.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Gentlemen.
This is Catherine Goble with our Trajectory and Launch Window Division. Her work is pertinent to today's proceedings. Come on. Want to get her a chair? We have a confirmed launch window. Get her a chair, please.
Yes, sir.
We have a confirmed launch window for Friendship 7. Let's discuss a landing zone.
The Navy needs a singular landing zone.
20 miles square is what we can service for retrieval. Outside of that, we risk the capsule's recovery.
We'd like 3 possible recovery areas.
With all due respect, our capsule's being altered daily. We're orbiting the Earth at what speed now?
17,544 miles per hour at the time the rocket delivers the capsule into low space orbit.
Calculate a go, no go with that information.
When exactly is that gonna happen?
Catherine, have a go at it.
The goal point for re-entry is 2,990 miles from where we want Colonel Glenn to land. If we assume that's the Bahamas, at 17,544 miles per hour, upon re-entry, 370 feet at a descent angle of 46.56 degrees, distance velocity squared, sine, gravity squared, sine, 32 feet, and the distance would be
20,530,372 feet, or 2,990 miles, or 46.33 degrees.
Okay, so that puts your landing zone at 5.0667 degrees north, 77.3333 degrees west.
That was amazing. You know, here's what's awesome is the same little girl who was handed the piece of chalk when she was in sixth grade, going through life, and it seems like all of a sudden, if you watch the movie, everything is against the skill and limiting her skill based on the advancement that she had had when she was a young child. She's finding herself in the bottom. She works her way up into an environment by which they're still coming against her. But the plan and the breakthrough was always in front of her. The access that God had was always in front of her. The access that God has placed in you from the time he handed you a piece of chalk as a child is still in motion, whether you have been handed the dream chalk yet. Can I tell you that the purpose of God is in front of you? It's hiding in plain sight. The thing is that you and I have to have the spiritual maturity to go after it, the tenacity to say, God, if you promised it to me, I want to see it. Because God will bring you into a room sometime and the rooms will feel uncomfortable. Every place where you are, you're sitting in a room, whether you know it or not. You're sitting in a room and you have to decide, will I say something about my boss or not? She was tired of this dude marking through the lines. If you watch the movie, every time she approaches him, he's like, it's not that way. It's not that way. It's not that way. And every time, the boss keeps walking by. And she says nothing to him. I wonder if sometime God is walking by our situation. And he's waiting for us to say, do you need my help? I need your help. But we just keep fighting the enemy. And he's throwing it down. And we fight the enemy. He throws it down. Well, finally, she's had enough. I'm sitting in this room. It's uncomfortable. You are showing me purpose. I feel like John Cena. You're showing me purpose. Can you see me now? You can't see me. You can't see me. You can't see me. I'm invisible. Because I'm hidden. I'm a hidden figure. She says, I'm tired. Because I can see the impossible. It is my normal. It's what God's called me to. She says, you know what? This room is uncomfortable. But it's about time my enemy and I have a talk with the boss. She goes up to the boss and she says, hey, I deserve to be in that room. The room that's greater than the room I'm already in. That's the room I see. I have been seeing it from the time I was handed the piece of chalk. These numbers come easy to me. Every number that I give you is accurate. I need to be in that room. Because if you want a breakthrough, you need me in the room. Your breakthrough is standing right in front of you, sir. You got to make a decision because you the boss. Sometimes you got to say, God, you the only one that can handle this. You need to show up because you going to look bad if you don't answer this prayer. Why, y'all? I'm serious. Sometimes you need to go, Lord Jesus, I done stepped out here, said we going to plant a church. People got to get saved in your house, Lord Jesus. I'm just telling you how I talk to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I am tithing and giving, and you promised me that there would be no lack. You got to show up because these people are wondering if what I'm doing is really stupid. Y'all looking at me. I'm just telling you how I talk to them. I'm like, Lord Jesus, if you don't show up and heal my body right now, I cannot do what you've called me to do. You got to be the boss because the enemy over here, he keep blackening out things and it's hard for me to see you. I'm holding it up to the light, but I'm telling you, you got to reveal yourself to me. See, your God is also in plain view. Your breakthrough is your God. And he was in plain view the whole time, waiting for you to go, will you show up for me, please? Let me in the room. And the purpose and the destiny that she'd been waiting on was handed back to her. Can I tell you that your purpose and your destiny, it ain't stopped? You just have to remind yourself
who's the boss? The reason why is because your breakthrough is hidden in front of you. I read it earlier, Isaiah 40. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked paths will be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Why? Because the Lord said so. Let the girl in the room. Get her a chair. What's the math numbers? Notice the enemy is never prepared when God is like, yo, what's the account you got? Mary, Catherine, John, Damon, welcome in the room that belongs to you. Can I tell you that you will gain access to the room, but your spiritual maturity, tenacity will cause the room to become your room. By the time she's done, she drops the mic. Here's the reason why, is because when God opens a door, nobody can shut it.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Harrison?
No, there's nothing wrong. In fact, our IBM is churning out numbers in fractions of the time any human can, present company included.
That's good, then.
Maybe. Thing is, the Cape's now insisting on doing all the backups down there on site.
I see.
So we won't be running backups here. And truth be told, we can't keep up with that IBM anyhow. Long story short, we no longer need a computer in this department. Progress is a double-edged sword. Let's have you report back to the West Group for now. We'll see if we can find another assignment.
Thank you, sir.
Catherine, I'm sorry about this. It's out of my hands, if you can believe that.
I understand.
Colonel John Glenn will be the first American to orbit the Earth. As you can see, there are thousands of people here today to witness this historic event.
Paul, something's off here. These landing coordinates don't match yesterday's.
The IBM just ran them.
Well, then the IBM's wrong yesterday. Right? Paul, am I right?
It appears so.
IBM's been spot on up to this point, John, but we'll run it again, see what it comes up with.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you, Al. When I fly the machine.
And right now, it seems like this machine's flying me.
We're on the same page, John. Our guys are on it.
Let's get the girl to check the numbers.
The girl?
Yes, sir.
You mean Catherine?
Yes, sir. The smart one. I mean, she says they're good. I'm ready to go.
All right, we'll get into it.
Roger.
Sam, go find Catherine Goble. She needs to verify Glenn's go, no go, or we're staying on the ground.
Yes, sir.
Looking for Catherine Goble.
It's Catherine Johnson now.
They need you to verify these coordinates.
All right, give us some space so to work.
As we await Colonel John Glenn's launch, a truly historic day for America. The country has waited for several months through many failed unmanned Atlas rocket tests and 10 scheduled manned attempts, which were canceled for various mechanical or system complications. Even the weather.
All the final tests and checks are being conducted. John Glenn is ready to board the Friendship 7.
But today, we remain truly optimistic, and it's a go day in all regards. The capsule is ready, the rocket itself is A-OK, and the weather here at Cape Canaveral is
anything from Langley?
Flight conditions.
Not yet.
We are being told that Mission Control at NASA is conducting a final check of the launch and recovery coordinates including the go-no-go calculations, so crucial to a safe and successful launch and recovery.
After years of waiting and months of delay, Colonel Glenn is finally ready for that space flight that we've been waiting for with so much anticipation.
These last-minute checks could indicate a hesitancy on NASA's behalf, but let us say without reservation that the safety of Colonel John Glenn is paramount to the mission and to the nation itself.
No, sir, we're still a go. Yes, sir.
What the devil are you doing? Are you taking a break?
Yeah. Say yeah. Yeah. Say yeah. You,
yes, we can.
Picking on a picking over home and as a course.
Your fine woman don't need another. Get behind me on the weekend if you tell me to.
Bad 14.
Catherine. Come on.
Sir, we've got pad 14 on the box.
All right, let me in there. This is Langley. We have the coordinates confirmed.
Stand by, Langley.
Can I tell you that when God opens a door for you, nobody can shut it? Hey, I'm sorry I have to let you go. God has a way of changing everything to make sure that you don't ever go back to where you were. He makes sure that you know that the room that you were sitting in with great men was not your final room. So sometimes he makes it feel like the door was closed in your face. I'm sorry, we have to let you go. But then out of nowhere, the room that you were destined to be in is the room he gives you complete access to. Here it is out of nowhere. She feels like I get to the finish line and boom, and look who comes and opens the door for her again. The same one that she said, I need to be in that room. I need to be in that room. You let me in that room. Same guy who was like, hey, I'm sorry, is the same guy that opened up the door. Sometimes there will be doors that God will close because you and I may have gotten comfortable there or it's not the final resting place. But God's door is wide open to you and I, and no man can shut it. I'll prove it to you. Revelation 3 says this in verse 7. It says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can open or shut it. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. You've been holding on. You said, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to look beyond because my breakthrough is right in front of me. No matter what place I'm in, no matter what room, even if it feels uncomfortable, I'm going to stay tenacious. I'm going to be mature about this thing because I'm going to hold it up to the light. And God says, I'm bringing you in a room. And that room that you're in, it's got your name on it. Here, take this badge. You're supposed to be in. When God puts you in a place, and as you're chasing your purpose and your destiny, you have to know that when God opens it, nobody can shut it. And there will be some doors that you might want to pry open, and God's like, no, minimum wage is not what I called you to. Just taking the pills is not your long-term destiny. I've closed that door. I've opened healing for you. The enemy will try to push it shut, but that is not what I've called you to.
Or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.